Haiti. And the foundation today we are doing is the foundation of joy. Foundation of joy, John 16. And we will start at verse 20. Jesus speaking here. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrows shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man was born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, and I will see you again. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. But your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." The foundation of joy. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll get into that. Lord, it's a great, wonderful subject, joy, Father. In a world that needs some joy, Father, we thank you we have this subject. We thank you we have your teaching of your word. Thank you. I can just kind of present what you present about joy, Lord, and I pray that I would be able to do that, that you would speak through me and we would understand what you think about joy. We would have our minds changed about the way we think about life, the way we think about happiness, and the way we think about joy. We just pray for your power now and for the Spirit to speak about this subject and make it clear to us what we can get done today as far as joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word joy means calm delight. That's a definite, the Greek word actually means calm microphone right here, calm delight. And it's a beautiful word, calm delight. It's kind of a calmness, kind of something that's in your soul that's delightful and peaceful. today we're teaching about what, you know, the foundation of joy. There's a lot we could teach on joy. I have too much to teach in one lesson, but I want to maybe lay the foundation so you can understand just what joy is. Joy is a little misunderstood. And joy isn't joy should be a powerful force in our life, and I don't think it is. I want to say Jesus starts off in John 14 and here in John 16 and also in the middle of John 15 when he's talking about life and joy and things. He starts off by saying you're going to have misery. Okay? I think honestly, our church has specialized so much over the years in people with emotional problems and things. One of the things I found is if they've been to church in the late 90s or the 2000s, we're going to have to fix the way they think about suffering and misery. Now, if they're not saved, it's not as much a problem as if they are going to church in that period. If they go to that church in the period of time, the last 20 years, churches have taught you that if you serve God, you're not going to be sorrowful and weep and have hard times. And so people are so mixed up. Because they think, oh, God must be mad at me. God must hate me because I'm having hard times. I'm suffering. Every time Jesus talks about joy, he talks about it. He also talks about sorrow. You're going to have too. joy is not the absence of ever having pain or sorrow, okay? That's not what joy is. And if you think that when things are bad, God's mad, that's a terrible unbiblical philosophy, and we won't address that necessarily, but joy is, and let me just give you some thoughts here, so we just cover some foundations of it, not the whole thing. Number one, joy is far beyond an emotion. Joy is far beyond an emotion. If you look here, he says, verse 22, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Your happiness can be taken from you in a thousand ways. Somebody you love passes away, a tragedy happens in your life, you find out you're having health problems. It can happen because your car has having problems. A thousand things can take your happiness away. When you're sick, I mean, I have the flu, I am miserable. More than anything in the world, the flu makes me a whiner. I don't whine much, but when I get the flu, oh, I'm ready. The Lord, take me home. The misery of things can take away your happiness. thing can take away the good feelings, but your joy no man can take from you. See, Jesus says you're going to sorrow for now, but later on you're going to have joy, and that joy is not removable. Galatians 5:22 says it's a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's more than an emotion. And don't think that joy is an emotion. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It is a state of being. It's a possession that's deep inside of you that isn't, it's much deeper. Emotions are up here. These fruits and these things are much deeper. And they're not affected by the things that the things up here are have there. Number two, it comes from knowledge that we have a living Savior. Joy comes from the knowledge we have a living Savior. Verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. He said to them, "Do you inquire among yourselves that I said, 'A little while and ye shall not see me, and yet a little while and ye shall see me'? Verily, verily, verily I say unto you, you're going to weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy." And in verse 22, "I will see you again, and I'll give you joy, and your heart will rejoice. No man will take that joy." Comes from knowing, we just sang it, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Let me show you where joy and peace are as related to emotions. Deep down, you have this thing of joy and peace, these fruits. And they are way deep down. They're like a foundation that's 100 feet down. They're way deeper. Now, in life, you have emotions. Emotions do this, okay? But they can only go so far down from where your joy and peace are, okay? If you have no joy and peace, you can go all the way down. There's nothing stopping you. There's no anchor. You can have joy and unhappiness, but you can only have so much unhappiness because you have heaven, you have all the things of joy. You can go up. But that foundation of joy and the foundation of peace always will keep you from going too far down. You can go up a million times. You can go up as high as you want to go. You can be, you ever hear that old song, "If it keeps getting better and better, oh Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do"? Life can be amazing and wonderful and top of the mountain with joy. But you can also have sorrow. Your emotions can be all over the place. Chemically, there's 1,000 reasons you could not be happy. If you have 5 days of clouds in a row and you're not taking vitamin D3, you're going to be more down than normal. Just physiologically. I always laugh when psychiatrists talk about depression. They never deal with diet. They never deal with nutrition. They never understand the shortage of vitamin D3 in Seattle. I wonder why we have more depression here than anywhere else in America, which is a fact, by the way. It's called, a big part of that's called weather. You get vitamin D3 from sunshine. And the sun disappears for 9 months a year. And so you take, and so you supplement or you do some other things to get it. Or you go on vacation for a week or something, but you get that, you get your vitamins. And so there's 1,000 factors that affect your emotions. Your team loses. Boy, that gets men down. You know, all of a sudden, people in Denver in February, they were very depressed. I mean, emotions go up and down. Things happen. And it happens to all of us. But joy doesn't go away and come and go. Joy is not an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. Sadness is an emotion. Feeling good is an emotion. And emotions are fine. They just aren't your anchors of your soul. They just don't decide everything in life. I just don't feel good. That's part of life. I feel great. It changes day by day. It changes in all kinds of things. You can be having the best day in the world and somebody cuts you off on the highway and all of a sudden your emotions are changed. And so it comes from knowing you have a living Savior, that Jesus is alive, that he's with you always, even at the end of the world and all those things. Number three, it comes from answered prayer. John 16, verse 24. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." There's a joy that comes from that, from getting answered prayer. Next, it comes from knowing the Lord loves us. And this is really important. John 15, and look at verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, several things here. Because of time, we're not going to get into fullness of joy. It's I think it's three times in the Bible it says these things are there that your joy can be full. Now, joy comes in different levels. The very foundational level of joy is just a couple truths, and we'll get to it later on, knowing you're going to heaven. We already said knowing that your Savior lives and knowing that God loves you. Don't get away from those three things. Remember how I said, how we talked about last week, Sunday morning? We talked about how that what the, your biggest need is just having Jesus. If you just have Jesus, everything else is nice, everything else is good, but if you have Jesus, if he's your, if you're close to him, you have the basic necessity. Now, there's a lot of things that are nice, a lot of things that are excellent and important to us, but really, having Jesus brings that foundation of joy and brings that, that foundation in your life. And so, knowing that God loves you, listen, the one thing you've got to keep in mind throughout life is God loves you. You got to keep that in mind. You people who love you won't love you sometimes. People who are there for you won't show you the love that they should, or they'll disappear, or they'll... But knowing God loves you, and Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It brings joy in your life. It's just good knowing your love, no matter what you do, no matter where you are, no matter what anybody else does, knowing that the Lord loves you. That brings joy, and he says that also brings fullness of joy, that your joy may be full. When dealing with a lot of problems in life, family rejection, marriage problems, children rejected by their parents, things like that, the most important thing that we have to establish in somebody, if you ever deal with that, the first thing you have to establish is that God loves them. Because that brings a foundation. Everybody needs to be loved. You need to be loved, and it's important to be loved by certain people. It's very important to be loved by your parents and by your spouse and by your children and by your... All those things are vital. But they don't always come through. But if you have God loving you, you have... When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up, the Bible says. Okay? It is important that you understand the love of God will be a bedrock in your life, even when everybody rejects you. You know, it's a crazy thing. Sometimes, even the ones who do love you, you're not getting a good relationship with them right now. Or they're not expressive like they should be. And so even though you're loved, you don't feel loved. And so you always need, because humans are imperfect in their love, you always need that foundation of joy, knowing that God loves me. And God doesn't love you because of who you are. That's the important thing that we misunderstand. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God does not love you because of you're lovable. I tell you what, God would love me a lot of times in my life if he loved me because I was lovable. Amen? I mean, don't talk about me, the way you too. And God would stop loving us a whole bunch of times if he could quit loving us. Amen? How many of you sometimes aren't lovable? I don't see some hands not raised. I don't know about you. And I guess you're also humble too. But sometimes we're all, I thank God that God doesn't love me because I'm so lovable. He loved me even though he knew every one of my sins. And he still loved me because God is love. What a thing that brings joy in your life, that you are loved. And that's important. Next, joy comes from the belief in Christ. We'll wander out of John here for a while and go to Romans. And I'll take a couple different passages from just from believing on Christ. There's a joy that comes with that. Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 13. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So you get joy and peace through believing. And that's where it comes from. And then, we'll turn there. 1 Peter. I'll turn there. You can turn there if you want. 1 Peter. And chapter, 1 Peter in chapter 1. I think it's 2 Peter. I got 1 Peter 1:8, but it's not. Let me take it. Let me just check here. Oh, I'm in 2 Peter. No wonder. There we go. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, whom having seen ye love, and in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believe and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so that's where it comes from, is belief in Christ. When you really believe in Christ and realize what you have in Christ, it's great. And next, let me go back, take you back to John 17. And this is what I want you to really, it's vital to understand. Joy comes from the inside. John 17. And verse 13. It says, Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Okay, joy is an inside thing. Happiness is an outside thing. Okay, happiness is fine. I like happiness. I like my team wins. I like when I'm feeling good. I like when traffic's clear. I like when I come home and everybody loves me. And all those things are better when it's like that, and that's good. I like it better when the sun's shining. This year, for some reason, I'm a Northwest guy, but this year, for some reason, I got tired of the clouds. And I usually not like that. And this year, I said, you know what? I just like some sunshine. I am tired of the clouds. It was great to be in the Philippines just to see that orange ball that floats in the sky sometimes, and we've had a few days of it. I just got like that, and you know. When it stays sunny, you're just a little happier, aren't you? A lot of times. Some people aren't, but most people are. And you go and you look around and you say, these things are nice on the outside. These things are nice to have things going well. But things don't always go well in life, do they? No. They go bad sometimes. And your happiness is going to be taken away. You shall have sorrow. But the joy comes not from the outside things that are happening. Happenings. The joy comes from the inside. The joy is things you believe and know in your heart. It's what God gives. It's fruits from the Spirit. I remember when I first went to a Christian camp, and it was crazy. I was just coming to Christ, and I remember at that camp, it was my first experience with joy. And man, I loved it. Joy is so great. It's so rich. Above happiness. It's just something that there's a peace, there's a serenity, there's a calm delight that joy brings. And I remember thinking, man, this is better than anything I've experienced in sin. That joy is something on the inside. It's fulfilled inside of you. It comes from the Spirit within. Next, it is not affected by troubles and trials. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is not affected by troubles and trials. Now, can a Christian lose their joy? Absolutely. A Christian can have no joy. We'll talk about that in one of our points. You cannot have any joy as a Christian, but you have access to fullness of joy. And that fullness of joy is the great thing to have in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. He says, hey, we're poor, we're sorrowful, and we have nothing. That's what happens sometimes. How many of you have been to the point in your life where you've been so broke you really had nothing at all in your life? You just had nothing. It's not fun, is it? Paul says, you know, here's how we are right now. We are as sorrowful, yet we're always rejoicing. That's kind of rejoicing is like the act of expressing your joy. One's a noun, one's a verb, and always rejoicing, and joy versus rejoicing. He says, we're always rejoicing, as poor, yet possessing all things. You know how hard it is for an American, because our minds are so based around things, it is to be poor and not be miserable. I tell you this, I remember with a whole crowd of us in the Philippines, we were in the Philippines somewhere in a poor, very poor area, very poor church. And I said, and I just was talking to him, I don't know how it came up, but I said, I want you guys to understand that you are very blessed where you are. And did you know that you guys are happier than Americans? And all of them looked at me blankly, and every American that was with me went, they're happier people. It's not a matter of possessions. I got an article. I can't wait to read it to you. I just printed it up last night. It's an article about the draft happened this week, last three or four days. And they talked about financially what happens to football players. And it's really pretty funny. It wouldn't be funny if it was me. But that somebody blows that many millions of dollars and is that broke that quick, it's funny. Because money can't make you happy. And they're pretty miserable when they're done with their money. And just looking and seeing, listen, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have sorrows, but the joy is something that's deep down, that's something that doesn't isn't affected by how things are going. In other words, if my joy was here and everything was going good, my joy is here and everything's going bad, my happiness is up here, now my happiness is down here, however, my joy is still there. If I wasn't saved, my happiness could be way down here. If I have no joy. But he says, Paul, but as you mature in life, what happens is you base your how you're doing on the deeper things that come from God. When you're shallow and not spiritual, you base everything on the shallow things of emotions. We are an emotion-based society, and how it's going is determined by how we feel. What do we feel? What do we feel? It doesn't matter what you feel. Emotions are completely overrated. And here's what happens. When you get the foundation of joy and peace in your life, and those become the foundations in your life, not happiness, not emotions, not how you feel, what'll happen is you're almost detached from your emotions. Somebody will say, how you doing? You say, man, I'm just feeling terrible and things are going rotten, but I'm great. You say, no, it's not possible. It's not possible when you're an emotion-based person, which our society teaches us to be. Follow your heart, whatever you feel. If it feels good, do it. That's all what we've been taught. Emotions are primary. Emotions, but the Bible says, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. Emotions are irrational. Emotions change on everything. So you might say, you know what? Contrary, you might say, you know what? Everything's going great in my life right now, but not doing very good. There's something between me and the Lord right now. And your finances are fine, your relationships are fine, your health is great, but you know what? You're not fine because you've experienced joy and peace and they're not there. And even though everything's going great on earth, you know you're not doing well. Because you are getting you understand the right foundation of joy and peace. And you get that. It's not affected by trials. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:2. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Great man once said, you can be two ways to be rich. You can get everything you want, or you can want everything you have. Either way, you're rich. Just one's a lot easier and cheaper. let's see. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. That verse makes absolutely no sense. There's so many things happen in that verse. He's talking about the Macedonian Christians, the Philippians. He said they gave to us when we needed it. They gave it when we were in deep poverty. When they were in deep poverty. But he says they were in great afflictions and great trials. They were very poor, but they had so much joy that they gave a whole bunch. Do you see how strange all that is to the regular mind thinking? Let's read that again. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. It all doesn't make sense to our mind. That's trained in how things are going and how I'm feeling and how things are going. They were doing great in their incredible poverty and affliction they were in. They had so much joy they couldn't wait to give. Do you see how the emotions weren't ruling? Let the peace of God rule in your heart, the Bible says. It's bigger. It's more powerful. And that's what we should be doing. Now let's look at James 1. James says this also. James, good, we started flying there for a while, and now we're in a good spot. We can slow down a little bit here. It doesn't have to do with, it's not affected by trials and troubles. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That didn't make a lot of sense, does it? Knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work. We could read 1 Peter 1 and other chapters. It's separated from that. Emotions are not like this, but joy is not affected by that. It is not affected by trials and troubles, by what's happening in your life. Now, again, I can't teach everything on this subject, but you might say, well, I don't know how to do that because when things are going bad, I'm down. And that's normal. Okay? But you've got to get close to God. You've got to get full of the Spirit and get the joy in your life. Just focus on your relationship with God, and joy and peace will rise up. And you will find yourself just not being affected as much by the things of life. It'll still be there. And where it used to, on a scale of 1 to 10, things going bad used to move you to a level 10 of bad. Now it's a 3. It's not because you're psyching yourself out. It's not because but you've just based your life and you filled your life with joy and peace. And I want to say this, you cannot manufacture joy and peace. You can manufacture how your emotions are. Okay? You can lie to yourself and feel good about yourself. You can go you can escape by entertainment and feel good. You can escape your problems. You can drink your problems away and change how you feel. Okay? You can medicate your way and change your emotions. There's 1,000 ways to manufacture emotions. If you're down because of the weather, you can fly somewhere. Hey, listen, if you're down because your car is a piece of junk, somebody will sell you a nice car on credit. Okay? There's 1,000 ways to get yourself up emotionally. But remember, pump it up. It can also go pop, just like that. Okay? I mean, that's a serious point. I know he's messing around, but seriously, all the happiness of life you can manufacture can be popped in a second. Okay? And so understand that it's very, very, very important that you cannot do that with joy. Joy comes from God. Peace comes from God. You can't manufacture it. You just got to get close to God. And if you can say, you know what, everything's going wrong, everything's a mess, I don't even know what to do about all these troubles, you know what, I'm just going to go repent of some things, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to spend some time in my Bible, and you just plow through for a while until you get close to God, and pretty soon, your foundation is rebuilt. Now, next, it is not affected by trials and troubles. Next, it comes from knowing heaven is your home. Let's go to Luke 10. And I'm spoiling my message this morning from reading Luke 10, because that's where I'm preaching from. Luke 10, but you get a double dose today. How we doing? We're okay? Good. Joyful's good. Good. Any questions so far about joy? All right. I don't mind questions. I won't humiliate you and say, well, that's a dumb question. I wouldn't do that. But anybody have any questions? All right. Good. Joy. Joy comes from knowing that heaven is your home. This is one of these foundations of joy. Luke 10 and verse 19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Rejoice is the act of expressing joy, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's why you have that. It's the joy of knowing you're saved. There have been times in my life where everything was wrong. Everything was going bad. And when it rains, it pours. Amen? That's right. I mean, things go wrong, they go wrong. After a while, you ever get numb and say, all right, might as well, hey, why don't I fall and break my leg right now? I mean, it's just like piling on. It does that. You know, I've just had times where I said, you know what, I'm sure God, I'm going to heaven where there's no more of this. Because there's a time when everything's just bad. And by the way, I'm serving the Lord and in God's hands and all that stuff. There's still times everything goes bad. I think that's called earth. Living in a fallen world. Things are just going to go bad. Things deteriorate. Things happen. Things break. It's part of the deal. So I've just had sometimes said, Lord, I'm just glad I'm going to heaven. Thank you. There's no more sorrows, no more car breakdowns, no more bills. It's crazy. So many things don't bother me. You know what bothers me? Paying bills. I hate paying bills. There's so many bills and so little money. You know, I always have enough checks. That's good. And if I have checks still, there must be some money there still, I guess. But paying bills, did I just pay this thing? The one that gets me is my electric bill. Oh, big family electric bill. Oh, man. My electric bill during the winter is over $400 a month. $400. That's some people's apartments in some place, not in Seattle. And I write these things. I think, man, it's the first. What's going to happen in the 30th? What are we going to do? And boy, you get down. You just say, oh man, this is gonna be a tough month again. And you do that. And you say, you know what? I'm glad there's no bills in heaven. We know where bill collectors go. and so we're glad about that. And so we no more taxes in heaven. We know where politician IRS agents go. All these things. I say, thank God. Cars don't break down in heaven. I get a horse that runs forever. My mansion in heaven, I don't ever get sent a power bill. God lights it. My roof won't leak in my mansion in heaven. Heaven's good. Heaven's exciting. Rejoice. Think about heaven. Think about no more sorrows, no more tears, fullness of joy. Better than your best day on earth. Better than you could imagine your perfect day on earth. It's the best day in the world. It wouldn't touch heaven. And rejoice in that all the time. Have joy in that. And that's important. Next, I want to say sin can remove your joy. Let's look at Psalm 51. The joy of salvation, but sin can remove that. Psalm 51. Sin can remove the joy of your salvation. It just comes in the way. Psalm 51. Many times I've felt I've just not been right and I've not had joy. And boy, God, every time I thought about it, boy, the Lord kept bringing the same thing to my mind. Same thing to my mind. Same thing. Finally, I said, all right, I'm repenting of this, God. And I go to God and repent of it and get it all right and spend some time with the Lord and cry and weep. And boy, I go away with feeling 1,000 pounds lighter and having joy. Psalm 51 and verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Sin takes away the joy of your salvation. It just throws a wet blanket on the fire of joy. Just unrepented sin in your life. You'll feel so much better. I don't understand why we don't repent, because we feel so much better when we do. But the devil tries to keep us away from doing it. Next, converts and faithful believers can increase your joy. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. While you're turning there, we'll quote you a couple verses. All these verses I've had, I don't know how many verses I have. I had to cut so many verses out. There's so much about joy in the Bible. It's so important we have it. We've cut so many verses out of my notes. I didn't even put them in my notes. And in my notes, I have so many verses I haven't read. Philippians 1, converts and faithful believers can increase your joy. 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. Of course, that can be your spiritual children. It's referring to spiritual children in 3 John, but it can also be your physical children, because they are also your converts and your people you're discipling. I have no greater joy. And I want to say that when people you love, who you've influenced, or people you care about, and your friends in the spiritual realm, when they are doing good, you feel great, especially people you've influenced, people that God has used you in their life. There is no greater joy. It increases your joy. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance of your joy and faith." Paul says, "I'm going to stay with you guys, and I'm going to increase your joy." Can that be said about you and I? That you increase people's joy? That's something. It's something that, and I shouldn't confess all my sins to you. We don't have time, first of all. But secondly, one of the things that God really spoke to me in the Philippines is, boy, I was just around such joyful Christians who are so encouraging. They come tell you how great the message was, and they tell you, boy, thank you so much. We sure, and they're just, they thank you for giving them a Bible, and they're encouraging people, and they always have something positive to say. And I thought, you know what? I've got to get better at encouraging. And I've been working on it and just being refreshing to people. And it's, I am a problem solver. I see a problem. I give you a solution. That's kind of what I do. But also part of the problem is people need to be encouraged and working on that and trying to get better at that. And I'm not down and hard on people, but I just, it's not my strength. And I really want to do that and be better at that. Increasing people's joy. Paul said, you're going to have more joy because I've been with you. And that's good. And Paul said, I'm going to increase your joy. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Paul called his Philippian Christians his joy and crown. Now, we just read about how that Paul said that these Philippians gave to him from Macedonia. They gave to him in their poverty. Paul referred to that several times. It impressed him so much. See, Paul was dealing with the Corinthians. He was dealing with the Galatians. He was dealing with these Christians that he worked with and weren't doing so good. But the Philippians were his joy and crown. He says, "You guys are my crown of my labors. You're the joy of my life." I want to say that as a child or as a church member, you can greatly increase the joy of your parents, of your pastor, of the one who won you to Christ, your spiritual father or mother. You can increase their joy greatly by doing well, and you can take a lot of their joy away by doing bad. I know it. I usually, at the same time, I have the joy people and I have the tug of war between different people with my joy. Now, I'm not saying they can take all my joy away. Remember, there's that foundation of joy. That's heaven. That's God loves me. The foundation does never change. But there's a lot of things that can increase that joy. And increase people's joy by he says, "You're my joy and crown." Those people doing the right thing can do that. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2 and verse 9. "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto..." Let me see. That is not the right verse. Let me look at my references here. That's not the verse I'm looking for. Nope. It's okay, we got the other verses. Probably somewhere else. It's probably 2 Thessalonians, but that's okay. We read about how they increased his joy. "I have no greater joy." This is my number 10. Let me go back through them again. Joy is far beyond an emotion. It comes from knowing we have a living Savior. It comes from answered prayer. It comes from knowing the Lord loves us. It comes from a belief in Christ. It comes from the inside. It is not affected. Joy is not affected by troubles and trials. It comes from knowing heaven is your home. Converts and faithful believers can increase it. And this is as far as I'll get today. It comes from the Lord's presence. Psalm 16:11, "In his presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." And then let me take you to Acts chapter 2. It comes from the Lord's presence. Acts chapter 2. And I'll read verse 28. Thou hast made me to know, read it again. Thou hast made known to me the way of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Countenance is face. And God's face shining on us. So he says, the presence of God. I want to say this. The presence of God, being in God's presence, brings fullness of joy. That's what heaven is. But you can have that on earth. You can go into God's presence in prayer. Go to church. God says, I walk in the midst of the church. Being a good Bible preaching church will give you fullness of joy. It increases it. God's presence, being around the Lord. We'll finish it up. I got one more point. It is found in worship and service. Turn to Psalms. I won't turn to the other verses I have written down, but we'll go to Psalm chapter 27. It's all over the book of Psalms, what it is, and I'll explain it to you. I'll give you a couple other references if you want to look them up. When people went to serve the Lord and were doing in God's service, they went and had a joy when they came back. Doing God's work brings joy. Doing God's service. And he wants you to let us enter his gates with thanksgiving, let us enter his courts with praise. Psalm 27, and just a few verses here, and verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above all mine enemies round about me. Therefore I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 32, and verse 11, it says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, and all ye that are upright in heart. Psalm 43, verse 4, it says, then will I go to the altar of God, and to God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. These services, acts of service with joy. I have a reference, 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 23 through 26. It's where they served God and they shouted for joy when God came in his presence and they offered sacrifices. Book of Ezra is full of that. There was great joy when they did that. Now, I want to say this. Let me just take one area and I'll explain to you joy and happiness. Let's take music. Music can lift your emotions. Godly music that brings you to a thought of your salvation and God's love can give you joy. Okay, secular music can bring you happiness. I could right now listen to music that I grew up with that I like, and I would feel good. It'd bring back certain memories. It'd make me happy. My flesh would like it, and I would feel happy. It would take away joy. I can listen to some songs, and the tone of the music and the notes and stuff aren't designed to make me feel that way. When I survey the wondrous cross, the music is a downer. The old rugged cross, the music's a downer. It doesn't make you say, I don't go, when I survey the one. That's not how the song goes. Doesn't fit. But I think when I survey the wondrous cross on which a Prince of Glory died, my riches gain, I count but loss, and pour contempt in all my pride. I see God's love for me. Churches have not understood this, so they go, what happens is this, very common, they go to a church who has music, that's the world's music that lifts your emotions, and people say, I leave there with such joy, then why is it gone on Monday morning? I know it makes you feel good. That type of music. But music with profound words and meaning, which is what the Bible has, sing yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, will give you joy that's still there on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's why an open door, music is not entertainment. We don't look for music we want to hear that's fun. We would have late 90s heavy metal. Late 80s heavy metal, if that's what we'd have for me. That's what I grew up on. Okay? It's not to make us feel good in emotion. It's to give us joy. And if we like the sound of it, fine. If you don't like the sound of it, fine. We're trying to get joy from it, not happiness. And if it adds happiness, boom, awesome, great, praise the Lord. Jesus says that one area when you separate happiness from joy, the difference it makes in the way you think. it makes a big difference. Good. We gotta finish up. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get ready for main service. Father, thank you for joy. What a gift to make us get through this world of tribulation. Oh, Lord, help us to have it from you. Lord, help us to lay those foundations, then also we see these things added to it, like answered prayer and converse, being faithful, and all these things that add to it. May we not only have joy, but fullness of joy. And we just thank you for the foundation of joy in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll be back in 8 minutes.